Prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. His city, his house. No one beats him in his house. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports. Now. On the Sportsnet Radio Network.
I knew that I wouldn't. So good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice.
Friday, April 17th, 2015 is the last day of the week. Thank the baby Jesus for that.
Last hour of my hunger strike.
You have been whining like a little baby about the fact that there's
like
no
a senator's
food
fan.
Here.
Look, I plan when I do the round table on Fridays, I plan my whole day around I get to eat dinner.
Well, I didn't eat lunch because I anticipated, you know, food.
You're no different than I.
And we're not being fed tonight. Because the sales holes can't sell enough advertising to put a little food on the table.
Seriously, Bob and I are starving. I have to work till midnight.
That's not why Pelly's leaving, is it?
It might be. the hidden reason. He didn't come down here. He didn't have to worry about free food.
Does this mean you get free golf in Europe?
Yeah, man. I'm going already. I already planned my trip. I already talked to him. Had a conversation with him this morning, and we had a little sit down this afternoon. And I'm ready to go. We're going to go do tour England. We're going up to Scotland, and then we're going over to Ireland.
I'm trying to think where the European tour plays.
I might not come back. I'm trying to get him to hire me as his 2IC.
Where the tour plays?
They get
over
that
there.
Abu Dhabi thing on the European tour, isn't it? Not a European
Dubai.
Tour?
They play Dubai.
I think they go.
They go to like Thailand and Malaysia and everything.
Yeah, they do
that's,
now.
That's where I'd go. I'd go to those cool places.
Keith's going to get log some miles, some air miles.
Well, they do South Africa too, right?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
I think they have a couple of events in South Africa. Yeah. Doesn't Player have an event in South Africa? I think he does.
The old Sun City tournament, isn't that part of the European tour now?
I believe so. I don't pay that close attention. It's a very good tour.
I mean, you start at Wentworth, right? That's where his office is. That's where they play the match play every year. That's a hell of a golf course.
Well, and his office overlooks the 18th green at Wentworth.
Life's a bed of nails.
Holy cow. Take me with you.
This is golf we're talking about, right?
Yeah, get me out of here. Now, the other thing that I mentioned to him this morning, too, and I've had this has been a bone of contention for me for years. And if you've heard me say it before, you've heard me say a lot of things more than once. I would move the Canadian Open into the European
Tour. Yeah, that's a dumb idea, though. And here's why.
No, it's not.
And here's why is because the PGA Tour would finish you forever. They'd put up an event opposite, and you would never get anybody.
You'd get all the European guys.
No,
you'd make it a major on the European Tour.
The good guys in the European Tour are members of both tours. And they would not play here. I can promise you that. A PGA Tour
nonsense
would not let it happen.
I'll take my chances.
I am tired
of being screwed by the PGA Tour, being stuck with crappy dates where nobody comes and the sponsor has to hire a plane
to fly guys in.
You have to have one event. Mike Weir has a shot at winning, don't you?
Not really.
Okay.
Boom.
Mikey's game is not exactly on par, as they say, right now. But for those that are not aware, our friend and fearless leader, Keith Pelly, has taken a job as the commissioner of the European PGA Tour. He'll be moving to Wentworth in England, just about 35 minutes outside London. And we wish him the best of success. We're happy for him, but at the same time, we're sad to see him go.
Do you think Keith will come back with like a Madonna accent where he kind of gets the fake British accent?
Well, I told him, Keith Pelly has hit every abutment and support in the parking garage downstairs already. Keith Pelley cannot drive.
He drives like he putts.
He is the worst driver I've ever seen. He now has to go, as I reminded him today, I said, you are now going to Britain where you're going to drive on the opposite side of the road. I said, "You one of two things is going to happen. You're going to kill yourself with a head-on collision, or you're going to get caught on one of those roundabouts and you're never going to get off.
Griswold.
And you'll die going round and round and round.
Look, kids, Big Ben.
Won't they get him a driver?
I was going to say, my guess is Keith will get a driver, is my guess.
I mentioned that to him, and he thought that was an excellent idea, but he hadn't thought of it. He hadn't thought of it.
Wow.
He said, you know what? That's probably a good idea.
That's a very good idea.
At least in the early stages.
No, forever.
That's what
a driver is good.
Speaking of driving,
forever.
He's a wonderful driver of the golf ball.
Yes, which
he can hit it.
Yeah, I don't think that has a big factor.
He can hit it. I understand, but he can hit it.
PK Subban slash on Mark Stone. Was it worthy of the rule that was imposed? And is the rule a Pandora's box? Blair, to you first.
I thought it was handled perfectly by all concerned, except for Dave Cameron, who comes out looking like a jerk. And other than that, PK Subban slashed a guy. He got thrown out of the game. What else are you going to do?
The rule says that if the player is injured or at the discretion of the referee...
And that was at the referee's discretion. You can't tell if a guy's coming back or not.
I understand that. But it does, again, open Pandora's box. You know, if you get whacked or hit and go down and immediately go off the ice, is the referee going to be inclined to give a game misconduct?
Of course he is. And he should be.
But what if the player's not hurt at all?
Tough. You slashed a guy. I'm sorry. The last thing I want to do is ask NHL officials to make instant medical diagnosis.
Well, but you are asking them to. If the guy goes off the ice, you're saying
you're making a decision based on best available evidence. Best available evidence was that the guy was hurt. And you know what? Sometimes you get it wrong. Tough.
Wow.
It was a vicious slash. And whether or not
it was a slash,
whether
I don't
or not
know how vicious
whether
it was.
Or not he whether or not the guy was hurt. Mm. Was there an intent to injure on it? To injure? I think you could look at it. I think you could look at it and say what there was.
Yeah.
I just
think it's the kind of thing you see a half a dozen times in every game.
Yeah. It might have been a little bit beyond that because it was a
Well, it was wide open. It was
swing.
I agree. It was
and
it
the
was
referee's
not good.
Standing right there. He's going to call it.
And it turns out he does have a fractured wrist.
He has a bone bruise.
He's got a bruise. Here's the thing.
Why didn't he do what
he
Tiger
have
did?
A fractured wrist.
But just reach down and pop that bone
pop
back
it
in.
This was no. This was
be a man. Wrong with him.
But here's the thing. If he does come back and play, then every referee in the league is going to be looking at this guy and going, "Yeah, you might have fooled so and so." You're not fooling me.
Come on. I mean, how many situations have you seen where a guy's been hit against the boards or whatever and is out for 8 or 10 games with a concussion and no penalty is called?
Yeah, I know.
You see that way more often.
But that doesn't
mean... Way more often.
That doesn't mean that in this instance the referees handled it improperly. It doesn't.
I'm not saying the referee handled it improperly. I'm saying the rule is wrong.
What are you going to do?
The rule opens the door.
Throw the guy out of the game until the guy comes back?
No, this is a... Well, I don't know what the answer is.
So all of a sudden, PK, get dressed again. The guy came back. Oh, wait, PK, now he's not coming back.
No, according to the rule, it was called correctly.
Yeah, it was.
But I will say this. I had no problem with what Dave Cameron said. Because Dave Cameron was honest. Was he furious when he said that? Yes.
No, he wasn't. Did you see the interview?
Did that
look like a furious man to you?
He looked like a ticked-off guy to me.
That looked to me like a man who knew exactly what he was doing.
And you know what? That's hockey. That's old-school hockey.
But you know what, Ken? You can't do old-school hockey after Moore Bertuzzi. You can't come out and say, well, we're going to injure the other team's best player.
He didn't say that. He kind of said...
He said that.
He implied it.
What did he say? He didn't imply it. He said, if you don't suspend the guy, we're going to go after their best player.
Look... I think
we
all have to take a step back. This wasn't Bobby Clark on Harlamov in 72. This wasn't slash.
You had a coach threaten to have his team injure a player in the other team.
He didn't come out and say that.
He implied it.
I think he'd have been fined if it wasn't for the down week that they'd had, losing the assistant coach and everything.
Please,
I think the NHL cut him some slack on that.
Look, the Ottawa Senators are not going to come out tonight and go after P.K. Subban. It's not going to happen.
Okay.
If they get a chance to eliminate him from the play in legal fashion, they're going to do it. But
they're
not going to go out stick swinging P.K. Subban.
You can't
tonight.
Do that after Moore Bertuzzi. You just can't. You can't come out
that
and say...
That was light years ago.
You can't do that. You can't come out and say we're going to go after another team's player. You can't.
Look, they're not going to. If they get a chance to hit him, they're going to hammer him.
All right, hang on.
But they're not going to go out swinging sticks at the guy.
One of the issues here is what did Cameron exactly say? So, here's what we're going to do. We'll let you listen to and see what Mr. Cameron... Oh, sorry, you're not ready? You need headphones on, otherwise you can't hear it.
Jeff needs headphones to know that he's correct, and he basically is, but anyway.
Well, I don't care if they hear it. As long as I can hear it, that's all that's important. And the audience will be able to hear it, right?
Do you want to pay my fine?
Oh, here we go.
Well, I think it's quite simple. It's a vicious slash on an unprotected part of the body. And it's you either do one or two things. I think it's an easy solution. You either suspend them. Or when one of their best players gets slashed, just give us five.
Get slashed. He didn't say we're going to go hack a guy and break a guy's arm. Get slashed.
He said we're going after the guy at another player in the other team.
He was steaming. He was totally ticked off. If you watch that whole presser, he is ticked off. He's given two-word answers.
I agree with Kenny on that one.
That was all calculated.
He was fuming.
That's BS. It was all calculated.
Like, coaches are always upset after losing a game. So, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and
I watched the entire news conference, and I agree with Ken. He was clearly steamed.
And his best player, at that point, he doesn't know if the guy's got a broken wrist, a bruise, or what. He's fuming there. And that was his emotions taking over.
I bet he knew exactly what Mark Stone's status was when he did that.
Well, I don't think it matters. We are not living in an age where the National Hockey League, under any criteria, has determined that punishment will be reflective of the degree of the injury. We have seen how many suspensions, and sometimes guys don't miss a shift, and sometimes guys miss 50 games, and the suspension is exactly the same. Or there's no suspension at all. It's the act and a determination as to the severity and impropriety of the act, not the degree of the injury. We've had plenty of people, and there are plenty of people probably tweeting me right now saying, if this guy's out for 20 games, the guy who did it should be out for 20 games.
That's nonsense.
Well, of course it's nonsense. But the NHL doesn't operate that way. But in essence, what they did here is they allowed the referee to make a determination. I'm not blaming the referee. The rule exists. He called it based upon the book. When Stone went off the ice, and he did so very quickly, the determination was made that we're gonna kick Subban out for the entire game.
To me,
and I think that's too severe a penalty. If the NHL wanted to punish Subban by suspending him subsequent to the act after the game, they're certainly entitled to do that. But to kick him out of that game under the premise that that player is about to expire is rash, and it opens the door. I'm telling you, coaches will take advantage of that.
But why does it? The rule is pretty clear. I don't understand what are coaches going to take advantage of.
You get whacked. Don't be reluctant to skate to the room.
If you're a fourth liner, you take a hack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done for the night. Just go. And then you get a 5-minute major on the guy.
Yeah,
which carries with it an automatic game expulsion.
So you're trusting the integrity of the players.
Yeah,
not to start diving all over the place. And for the most part, I think hockey players wouldn't do that. But in some situations, it's gamesmanship, as they call it in soccer.
Would you have had an issue with this if it was a regular season game?
I don't really have an issue with it now. I mean, for me, what Subban did, it was careless. It wasn't vicious. He didn't intend to break the guy's arm. But to me, he sees Stone out of the corner of his eye. They're shorthanded. Stone's going in front of Carey Price, and he's going like this. I'm just going to clear him out. I don't know if he's trying to. I don't think he's trying to hit his wrist. I think he's probably trying to hit his arms. He's trying to hit his pants. Hit his wrist.
What was important to me is if you watch the video, and I'm not 100% sure of this, but my recollection is that Subban essentially turned away right after he did it. He didn't follow him. He didn't watch him go down. Look at it. He turned away almost immediately.
He's but not looking for a stick.
But you know what you have to do, though?
He's not looking for...
There were two incidences before that where PK Subban goes after him. There were two instances. Actually, they showed it in Hockey Night in Canada.
Stone has arguably been Ottawa's best player for the last couple of months.
Yeah, I'm going after
him. If you're
him
not
too.
Focused on of the course. Best player, but it's the playoffs.
But what I'm saying is the referees see that. They see this. They're going to call the penalty.
We're not disputing the call. We understand the rule exists and that the referee, based upon his interpretation of the rule, called it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is with the rule itself, that if you open Pandora's box, other people will go through it. And that's my concern. Not what happened there, but what might happen in the future.
So you're worried about an outbreak of devious behavior now.
Yeah.
Correct.
Diving. A slash guy dives.
It would almost be considered a dive, wouldn't it?
To me, that's a dive if you get hit and you say, oh, I'm done for the night. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but if you faked an injury after getting
small, but you know what? I think they're erring in the side of player safety.
Sure.
I think they are.
And that was...
Which they have to do.
For a variety of reasons, not the least of which is the legal climate we're in now. I don't have any problem with the way anything was done in this. I don't have any problem with Mark Stone embellishing, to be quite honest. I have no problem with that. You're trying to sell an injury to get a guy, the other team's best player, kicked out. Fine. I got no problem with that. I just don't like, again, in the environment we're in, I don't like a coach even suggesting something's going to happen to somebody in the other team. There's no point. If you know what? Here's the thing,
Ken. What do you think they're saying in the room, though?
What do you mean? What are they saying in the room? They can say that in the room.
When we asked them,
they can say that in the room. I don't care what the coach says.
As a reporter, don't you want to know?
Yeah, but all he has to, I mean, we've seen incidences like this before. All the coach has to say is, we'll take care of it.
We'll take care of it.
That's it.
Would you rather, as a reporter, hear that?
Yeah, but you see, I'm not thinking like, if I was a reporter, I'd rather than come out and say, you know what we're going to do tomorrow night? We're going to go after Subban, then we're going to go after. That's fine. As a reporter, I want that. I'm saying that I'm not looking at this from the point of view of the reporter. I'm saying if I'm the coach, I'm saying we'll take care of it.
Well, then why do we even ask them questions? If we just want to get these answers that aren't
on the off
truthful.
Chance that the guy's going to tip and go. That's why we do it.
So then he does, and we're all over him for it.
Well, yeah, we're all over him for it because it's stupid.
I think, to me, he was fuming, and I think we're pushing it a little too far. I don't think this is a huge... We're going to go stick swinging at Montreal.
We got to move along. 17 minutes past the hour. We want to talk about some other things that have happened so far. The temperature was probably pretty high in Winnipeg the other night. They played their first playoff game in 19 years. Now, mind you, most of that, they didn't even have a team. So it was very difficult for them to play playoff games. And for 40 minutes, the Jets were in it. In fact, for 40 minutes, the Jets were leading. And then Anaheim came to life and winds up winning game number one. Are the Anaheim Ducks the most underrated, underappreciated team in these playoffs? I have seen not a single person even mention the Ducks as their choice to win the West.
I think what surprised me is, considering the fact that they've got home ice and the series starts there, I was surprised how many people were thinking... I mean, essentially, you're giving Winnipeg, by picking Winnipeg to win that series, you're saying you think Winnipeg can win one or two or three games on the road. That's what surprised me, is that a team that has home ice advantage and is as good as Anaheim has been all year, so many people are going the other way. That stunned me. That absolutely stunned me.
Yeah, but eights beat ones in the NHL quite often.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More so there than anywhere else.
It's like the NBA West. The NHL West is like the NBA. You got eight teams that are... good hockey teams.
And just for the record, Howard Berger picked Anaheim to go to the Stanley Cup final.
Oh, well.
There you go. So there's one name. But I agree with you. I haven't heard many people.
I think Kiprios picked Winnipeg to go to the final, if I'm not mistaken.
I think when it comes to Anaheim, where they don't get the respect is between the pipes. And I think that's what a lot of people see when they take playoff hockey. They think, okay, goaltending's always going to win. Anderson
and
played good last
great
night.
Goaltending.
Oh, man, Pavlik's been crazy going into the playoffs. He gave up four last night. But I think with Anaheim, if they get enough goaltending, You don't necessarily need Patrick Waugh 1986 in there. They keep you in the game. And then we saw in the third last night, just the two big boys for Anaheim just totally take over in Perry and Getzlaff. They just had their way with Winnipeg in the third. And that's a big, big Winnipeg team.
That surprised me. It didn't surprise me they tried, because you expect that from Corey Perry. I was surprised at how easy they pushed Winnipeg around in the mm-hmm. third period. Mm-hmm. That I didn't expect.
Well, just the way he got to the net for the third goal, I think it was the third one, the one that just barely got over the line. That's a man. It was really impressive.
Does it change your opinion on this series at all, the result in game one?
No,
it is only one game.
I went with my heart in this anyhow. I'd like to see the Jets win.
Well, I think we all would, but...
Yeah. Hasn't changed my opinion.
Yeah, I went with the Jets, but I think I told someone on another Halifax radio station the other day, if I could pick one series that would end in a tie, I think it would be this one. I just think this is just going to... You didn't really see it in game one, but I think it's just going to be a beat-down 7-game series.
Eddie Olchuk said this is a 10-game series. Whoever comes out of this is going
to
feel like they went through a 10-game series.
To me, it is.
Well, it might
some
be that.
It's funny because you're watching that first period last night, I'm thinking there are some big guys out here. Like, big, not large, just big guys out there.
And then you see Tyler Myers, and he's like Andre the Giant compared to the rest of them. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm told they're the second and third largest teams in the NHL.
Who's the first?
Oh, we're checking.
They're the second and third largest teams in the playoffs.
You have second and
that.
Third, but you don't have first? What kind of research is that?
It's in my binder if you want to run to my desk. And while you run to the desk, please pick me up something to eat if there's any food
pizza,
over there.
Find a spare pizza lying around.
And get a spare tie you can lend to Blair.
Don't you have a cookie or something in there for this
tie?
The guy's starving to death.
Do we not have interns who can run and get us cake or something, Bob?
Hey, now you're starting to sound like that girl got her car towed.
What is this? Yeah,
look at this.
Cashews.
Here you go.
You got Austin the intern over there standing in the corner.
Oh, it's from Costco, too. Can't be bad.
Gee.
Cashew clusters. This is healthy. I don't want this.
It's Kirkland. It's from Costco.
Don't pass it around. Other people may want some.
But you're hungry too?
No.
Dave?
No.
Stop.
That stuff's out of my life.
That's right. Yeah.
I think almost everybody thought the Rangers would win quite comfortably over the Penguins. And certainly I did. There was nothing that Pittsburgh showed in the last month of the season that suggested to me they can beat anybody, much less the New York Rangers, who have been really good all year. And I guess the only surprising thing was it was 2-1. Fleury gave up two goals on 38 shots, played okay. The real interesting thing was Sidney Crosby was almost invisible in this game. He had one shot on goal. Under the best of circumstances, Sidney Crosby's got to be the best player on the ice. The way the Penguins have played lately, he's got to be the best three players on the ice. Are we going to go back to the Sidney must be injured? Because I'm getting a little tired of that refrain every year the playoffs show up. Or is it possible this guy just isn't that good?
That's where I was
at
going.
At playoff time.
I would go with Sidney should be on the penalty kill. He played 3 minutes and 21 seconds in the first because the Penguins were shorthanded the whole time. Why is he not killing penalties?
What if this is what he is, though? What if, you know,
what if he isn't great when the pressure's on?
What if he never wins another Stanley Cup?
Hey,
you know, I mean...
Wayne Gretzky, man, when he got those 215 points, he was what, 24 years old? Sidney Crosby, he's not exactly a kid anymore.
No.
We may have seen the best of Sidney Crosby.
Well, he's got one cup, right?
He's got one cup.
Yeah.
And a lot of surprising failures.
And he's had
most of which
good,
have been attributed.
And he's had some good players around him a lot.
Well, and most of the time, his failures have been attributed to being hurt. The secret injury. Sidney wasn't well.
One Stanley Cup. I know some places that would settle for that.
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah.
Well, we know one.
The thing about the Penguins is they can't score goals.
Yeah.
And Billy Jaffe made a great point on the air last night because everyone was saying, why can't they score goals? And he made the point, they can't get the puck out of their own end. They really miss a guy like Chris Letang. They never get the puck in flight.
But you made a reference 2-3 minutes ago to Perry and Getzlaff.
Mm-hmm.
Come to life, all of a sudden, boom, 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 they take over the game. Would it absolutely shock you if the same thing happened with Pittsburgh?
No.
Yeah.
A couple of their studs just popped the light and they dominated a period.
I don't see it either.
I'm not saying
for four wins, but it happened once or twice.
Oh, well, I mean, anybody can win a game
anybody
or two.
Can.
But
sure. I think the other thing we've got to keep in mind,
I think this
too.
Is a mismatch.
Yeah, I think the other thing we've got to keep in mind, this is a really good Rangers team.
It is.
Yeah.
Sure
this is a
I
team.
I think they win the East.
I do, too.
You?
I do too. This now, is really well,
they're
good.
The favorite to win the East by a good
going
portion
back
margin.
To what you said, Perk. If Sidney Crosby took the series over, it wouldn't surprise me at all. He was still third in the scoring race, playing with he's not playing with Jerry Curry on the wing. So if he stepped up and did something, no, I would not be surprised at all. And remember, there was probably a bunch of us in this room probably a couple of years ago who wrote off Alexander Ovechkin, and look what Ovechkin's doing now.
All right.
I didn't watch the Red Wings Lightning's opening game. I'm not overly surprised that Detroit prevails 3-2, but when you dig a little deeper, you find out that Detroit was outshot 46-14. That Steven Stamkos had 8 shots on goal and got nothing. That was the surprising thing. The Red Wings' concerns about their goaltending, well, maybe they got a guy.
Yeah.
Maybe not, but maybe they got a guy.
I don't know how you have a repeat of that game against Tampa Bay and still win.
Well, I don't think there's any chance.
Yeah. You talked about Stamkos at 8 shots. It wasn't just that. We're just seeing on TV now. The quality of the shots.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of the shots they had. I think Tampa still wins this series, but
well, I don't think there's any question they're the better hockey team.
But what if this guy? What if this is the goalie? What if this
exactly
is the guy?
My point.
What if this is the playoff guy you have
there's
every year?
There's always one, right?
Yeah. We just showed the clutch save Mrazek made on Matt Carl there in the dying minutes, and yeah, you can't do that every game. You would think over a 7-game series, it'll go in favor of Tampa Bay. But you mentioned something about Winnipeg and winning on the road. Well, yeah. Detroit, they got the road win in the toughest building to win in the National Hockey League this year. Tampa Bay had 32 home wins this year.
Yeah.
And Detroit got a win there. So maybe that's enough. You get your one win there and you turn around at home.
Our friend Morosi, I believe, picked the Minnesota Wild to go to the Stanley Cup final. I can't remember who he picked. Who was it?
I think he may remember have the picked other the team? Rangers. It might have been.
I don't think it was the. Oh, it might have been. Might have been.
Cleveland,
in any event.
Cleveland Barons? No.
No, it wasn't the Cleveland Barons. In any event, and that may still materialize, but the pesky little Wild opened against the St. Louis Blues, who, no matter how well they play during the regular season, always seem to find a way to stub their toe. Is this going to be another one of those?
It's Devan Dubnyk. Why not? I mean, really, why not? Why not let the story play out? Would it surprise anybody if Minnesota wins this in 5? No.
Best team in the NHL since mid-January. And for all the talk we make about Andrew Hammond, has Devan Dubnyk not been just as good, or perhaps even better?
Perhaps even better for a longer
period
of time.
Yeah, he just doesn't get the attention up here that the Hammond story got. And Dubnyk's just, the guy was in the minors last year. It makes no sense.
And the other thing, too, Minnesota's got some, they're kind of out there. We don't pay a lot of attention coverage-wise.
No,
some good players. Got some real good players.
General thoughts on what we've seen before we move along. Anything overtly surprising?
I've gone from thinking the Blackhawks will be eliminated to thinking the Blackhawks might win the West. Just the whole watching that game against Nashville and watching it. As soon as Chicago gets the first goal, I'm thinking, okay, when it goes into overtime, I'm saying they could play 9 periods. Chicago's winning this. It just had, they're like furniture in the postseason now. You watch the Blackhawks play, you see something like that happen. And like I said, I've gone from thinking they're going to be eliminated to they could run the table in the West.
They do. The analytics guys love them.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, they do have Taves and Kane and Jonathan Taves.
And their penalty kill is pretty good.
I would say nothing. The Calgary Flames continue to shock and amaze me, and I think it has to stop being shock and more just amazement and more just respect for what they do. Big win in Vancouver in game one, and that is just a team that's a team where I don't think anybody in the hockey world still believes in them. But if you talk to the guys in that room.
Who, the Canucks?
No, the Flames. The guys in that
room. I don't believe much in the Canucks, to tell you the truth.
No, but nobody believes in the Flames still, to me, but except the guys in that room, and that's all that really matters. And they are proof. The Flames are proof that games are played on the ice, not with calculators.
It's not just that, but God love them. They're fun to watch, too.
Oh,
I mean, there's nothing. You can have a team that surprises you by boring the hell out of you. The Flames are fun.
They don't bore. And Jonas Hiller, I don't know how Jonas Hiller does it. He's not the biggest guy. He plays so deep in his net. He's on his pads the entire game. You watch a puck in the corner, Hiller's still down. Like, it's crazy to watch.
I've always said Brian Burke's a genius.
Yeah?
No, never said that.
Well, Hiller's been playing great for them.
Not everywhere, but, you know.
Yeah.
You look at Hiller on this replay. He's just down.
I thought this was the perfect matchup for Calgary, the perfect opportunity for them. I don't think there's another team in the West that they matched up better against than the Vancouver Canucks.
Vancouver's still soft.
I don't trust Vancouver.
They're soft.
What's the breaking news?
Couple of things.
Food.
Braden Holtby out for tonight. Philip Grubauer makes his first career playoff start. And Pacioretty is taking the pregame skate.
Yeah, with the target on his back.
All indications are that he will play tonight.
Wow.
Chris Neal sharpening up the stick as we speak.
Just when you need it a little
more. If they go after Pacioretty, it'll be like the Rocket Richard riot again. We'll come back and talk a little bit more hockey and some other things. It's the Roundtable on Primetime. You're listening and watching on the Sportsnet family of networks.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Ken Reed on the bongos, by the way.
Stones are in Buffalo this summer.
At the Ralph.
Yeah.
Want to go, Blair?
No. Stones aren't coming to Toronto this tour.
No, guess not.
But this is where they rehearsed the tour, right? Down on
It was.
Eastern Avenue.
Usually.
That's right.
They drink at a bar on Bathurst. I guess we shouldn't say this,
should
we?
No.
No, keep it quiet because all the...
You know, back in the 70s when the Stones wanted to do a rehearsal in front of a live audience to pack the bar, they got April Wine to play because everybody knew that the wine would pack the place.
God bless April Wine.
Hey. I haven't seen the Stones for 25 years, and they were washed up then.
Yeah. I saw them do the Super Bowl in Detroit. That was enough for me.
I saw them 10 years ago. They were good.
I saw them in the 1960s. I saw them in the 1970s. Yeah. But by the 80s, forget it.
An update on the Pacioretty situation. Pacioretty is wearing an A tonight, and he will play.
Wow.
A. Aim. That means aim.
Scarlet A?
It might.
Will it be a scarlet letter?
It will be scarlet.
Take aim.
I don't know. Is the A red or blue? On the
white.
White.
Oh, of course they got the red jerseys on.
But
never
once
mind.
Once the blood starts flowing.
Never mind.
You know. It's going to be an interesting
game.
They
should have the white jerseys at home.
I always thought
wear white jerseys.
They've switched back and forth a couple times.
First lockout, they changed it.
I've always believed that you should wear the whites at home, so that the fans can get to see the visiting jerseys. I mean, is there a better jersey out there than the Chicago Blackhawks
or the Canadiens? That's it.
The Habs one is great too.
Coin toss.
It's pretty good though.
Yeah, the Blackhawks.
Blackhawks have the best logo. Canadiens have the best shirt. I would say.
Maybe. Yeah, I would go. I go along with that.
Well, since the Hartford Whalers left the league,
I was a Fishtails guy.
Yeah,
I
like the everybody. The Hartford Whalers were like everybody's second favorite team.
Yeah, I got me a Whalers jersey.
Not me. No. Been to Hartford?
Yes. Best thing about the arena was the mall. It was your hotel, the mall, the arena. It was so good. You could go to the washroom in your own hotel room between periods.
That's fantastic.
That, my friends, is good living. That is good living.
The best thing about Hartford, of course, is the road leading out. The Philadelphia Flyers today announced the dismissal of their head coach, Craig Berube, who just a couple of days ago, Ron Hextall said, well, let me think about it for a while. Didn't think about it too long.
That was the news conference to announce that he was thinking about what he was going to do 2 days down the road.
Well,
that organization's fallen. Haven't they fallen so far from what they used to be?
Mm-hmm.
Like if ever an organization needs its owner to sell, it's the Philadelphia Flyers.
Why do you think it's ownership?
Yeah.
You blame Ed Snyder for all this?
Oh, God, yeah.
Because they can't find a goalie for, what, 15 years?
He keeps picking people who are stupid to run his team.
Well, he keeps picking former players because, I mean, I don't know.
Well, Hextall can put his man in there now. I like Ron Hextall. He had success in L.A., obviously.
I'll tell you what I like about Ron. I would like Ron Hextall a lot better if he was still, if he was 20 years younger and still play goal. Because that's what Philadelphia needs. They don't need Ron Hextall upstairs making decisions. They need him between the pipes because they haven't had one of those in 20 years.
Well, it's a good thing P.K. Subban slashed somebody because if Ron Hextall, that was a love tap for him back in the day. So,
yeah, he was pretty ornery, wasn't he?
He was.
Peter Chiarelli got fired after 9 years in Boston. I mean, one bad year and you're out. Is that fair?
The only thing I would say about that is, A, no, it's not fair. But on balance, B, he does such a crappy job managing that managing the payroll that, I have no problem. I have less of a problem with him going than I do with Claude Julien going.
Well,
I
think
that's just stupid.
Do you think he did a worse job than the Toronto Maple Leafs in managing the payroll?
He had to get rid of
Johnny Boychuk,
a good defenseman. He, like, go.
Well, but that's an invariability. I mean, he may be. It is. When you have success, your players cost money. And then you have to. The Chicago Blackhawks are going to have to rid themselves of half their team next year.
Yes.
It's an invariability. If you decide to give your two top players $13-plus million, you're screwed.
Look at what Pittsburgh's playing with.
Don't act like you're surprised all of a sudden to wake up one morning and go, I got to get rid of one of my best defensemen.
I'll give you that. I mean, look, there's no question that Chiarelli did a poor job of managing the payroll and who he got rid of.
After he won the Stanley Cup.
But he won a Stanley Cup, and he's had a good team for a good long period of time. I think you give him some slack. Maybe you slap him on the wrist and say, don't do that again.
Why aren't we talking about Chiarelli more for Toronto?
I misspoke. Claude Julien wasn't fired. That's good then.
Why aren't we talking about Chiarelli more for Toronto?
I thought Julien had
What's wrong with you?
Some people get stuff wrong every now and then.
Don't do that anymore.
I was waving there. But no, I think Chiarelli would be a nice fit for Toronto. Wow. But my whole thing with Toronto is whoever's hired isn't a traditional GM anyway. You're just part of a collective.
I think Glenn Healy may have.
I already know who they're hiring.
Who do you think?
You do? Glenn Healy 100%. Thinks it might be Paul Fenton.
No, it's going to be Sean Burke. They're going to hire him, and the current president will establish himself as the de facto general manager. But because he doesn't live here and doesn't hang around and doesn't really do any work, he'll have Sean Burke do all the heavy lifting.
And he's going to keep Hunter and Dubas in the fold.
Well, of course he is. He brought them in.
So they're going to have like
Why would he get rid of guys he brought in?
So you're going to have 9 assistant general managers. Beauty.
And no scouts.
Beauty.
Who needs scouts?
Scouts, schmouts.
Scouts, schmouts.
I'm betting. The odds are 10 to 1 on Bodog, by the way, on Sean
Load
Burke.
Up.
I'd load up.
What are the odds on Chiarelli?
6-1.
Wow.
Okay.
The favorite is? We did this the other day.
For GM?
For next GM of the Maple Leafs.
Favorite for next GM of the Maple Leafs.
We did this
it's
yesterday.
It's the same guy who's favored to be coached.
That's right.
The Mike Babcock.
Babcock is the favorite. Mike, he's at 2-1. Mike Fiuta's at 5-2. Ray Shiro is at 9-2.
Shiro doesn't look too bad all of a sudden, does he?
Peter Chiarelli 6-1, and then a bunch of other guys. Wilson, Fenton, Burke, Brisebois, Botterill.
I just can't see
Kyle Dubas is on the list at 25-1.
Honestly, I don't know why you wouldn't give the job to Dubas or Hunter. They're your guys anyway, and you're not going to be the traditional GM. So why not just give them the title?
Well, he might do that. I think he's going to give the title to himself. I think he's going to wake up. I think he's already decided he's going to be the guy, unless he can go out and get Babcock. I was going to say a premium GM.
Here's what
will
happen.
But the only one that would fit that category is Babcock.
Here's what will happen. If the Leafs win the draft lottery Saturday, Brendan Shanahan, Sunday, I'm going to be GM of the team.
I'd coach. I'd be the GM
of the team.
I'd go Reg Dunlop.
He is not going to make the announcement until he sees. If they draft fifth, Sean Burke, you're the guy. Well, welcome aboard.
Yeah, well, I got news for you. If they wind up drafting first, I think Mike Babcock's position on becoming a Toronto Maple Leaf is going to change pretty quick.
Maybe.
I'd go player coach Reg Dunlop.
Because he just can't.
Right out there.
I mean, nobody can see Babcock coming here with this mess.
I don't know why you would.
I have no idea why you would.
And you know, if you've got
the next generational player, theoretically.
But you know, the thing.
All of a sudden you go,
And this is surprised. I'm surprised this wasn't more of a story when they were hiring Kyle Dubas and Mark Hunter. And these guys seem like Kyle Dubas seems like a nice guy, and you know, I'm open to analytics and all that, but you've got Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas, and Mark Hunter. Where is the room for Mike Babcock if you want to bring him in? Because I don't think Mike Babcock wants to be answering to Kyle Dubas, Mark Hunter, or Brendan Shanahan. I just And no one made a big deal about this. Typical Leafs, you're loading yourself down with middle management in the front office. And if you go after Mike Babcock, what do you do if Mike Babcock says, hey, I'd like to come there, but I want to be head coach and general manager? Well, you can't. Sorry, we already got Mark Hunter and Kyle Dubas here.
Right. That's a great point.
Story came up, just a few little things. Story came up this week about Britt McHenry, who is a relatively young reporter at ESPN, mm-hmm. who went postal on a tow truck person. She's subsequently apologized for it, whatever that means. Well, here's what's interesting. The company that she was had issue with, Advanced Towing of Arlington, Virginia, has an F rating with the Better Business Bureau. The BBB has received 40 complaints about the company in the past 3 years, of which Advance did not respond to 37 of them.
A towing company? Hard to imagine.
Yelp reviews for Advance paint an even worse picture, if that's possible. There are allegations of double charges, unaccountability for damaged vehicles, and perhaps a dozen complaints that appear to be about the same clerk that McHenry was upset with. Does this mitigate the damage to Ms. McHenry's reputation and future?
No.
You still got to know when to...
Yeah, absolutely.
How to behave.
Don't ever play the do you know who I am card.
No, she wasn't nice to whomever was on the other side of that window.
Don't ever play the do you know who I am card.
The only time you ever want to be recognized when you're in the business is when you're checking in at the airport.
Yes.
And you're praying that you got a reader or a fan out there who will bump you up.
Yeah.
That's the only time you ever want to be recognized.
Or in line at a right? bar.
I have never been bumped up at the airport.
Really?
Why would I lie about that?
Wow. That's hard to believe.
Yeah. Yeah, no. You fly private. That's right.
Yeah, you're on a company jet. What do you, where you go, Ric Flair? Come on. Yeah. Limousine riding, jet flying?
Like when I was traveling a lot, I used to...
Why wouldn't you fly first class?
60 flights a year?
Yeah.
60 flights. Well, the newspaper didn't pay for first class. Are you nuts?
So dip in your own pocket, you cheapskate.
Well, occasionally I did. Occasionally I
more often
on
you,
my own.
You gave it the, you know who I am?
No.
You know who was really good at that? Northwest. God bless them. We're really good at bumping you up.
Really? I had a Northwest. Lady rip into me at the Halifax airport this year. I was waiting in line at a rental car last
summer. Because you were chewing
summer,
gum. I heard the story.
When I went home because I was chewing gum.
Well, I heard you tell that story.
And she turned around and I just kind of looked at her and I thought.
Wait a second. Because you were chewing gum?
I was chewing gum too loud.
I was chewing gum, and apparently it was too loud for her liking. And she turned around, she said, do you like your gum? And I reached in my pocket to give her a piece. I said, yeah. She goes, because we do not enjoy listening to you chew it. And
wow.
I thought, well, you're speaking for the collective. And I just kind of looked around, and I had that delay where I said, okay, just it's not worth it.
Now, here's what you should have done. You should have taken it out of your mouth,
exactly.
All sobby and gooey, and handed it to her.
So I said,
sorry, here.
And I just said to her, I said, lady,
you chew it.
Don't make me a part of your bad day. She said, well, I wasn't having a bad day until I saw you. And she turned around, and then I started going,
good for you.
And that's, I laughed at that. And then she went up to the rental
counter. Now she sees you on TV and goes, that's that.
And the girl behind me in line said, what was that all about? I said, I don't know. I thought she was joking. And then on my return flight, she was on my return flight to Toronto, too.
Really?
But I didn't do it.
Did you send her a drink?
I should have, but it was just like.
I'd send her a drink.
It wasn't worth it. And in the case of this young lady from ESPN, it's never worth it when you lose your temper like that.
Yeah.
Well. And there's bound to be somebody recording it.
There's phones everywhere.
Everything you do now is somebody who's going to, anything that happens, you know if there's anybody around, they have a phone, and on that phone is a camera, and they are going to go whip, click, boom. It's
And your life changes forever.
Yep. Overnight.
Their camera's in here right now.
Final note, Chris Bryant made his Major League debut. Last I heard, he was 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts.
0-for-4.
0-for-4. Field is choice.
So much for that story.
It's over.
Yesterday, he left five guys on another National League step.
I'd send him back down right now.
We said we'd give guys 100 at-bats, remember?
Yes.
Now it's down to four. Not me.
Wow.
Blair, time for you and
the
me to go to the
guy hit a million
lot,
home
buddy.
Runs in spring training, which so. Means nothing, and all of a sudden there's a big issue.
I don't want you to misquote me, misinterpret what I say.
To hell with that.
Want to go get some dinner, Bob?
Clearly he ain't ready.
Go get a burger someplace.
I'm so hungry, I'm not hungry anymore.
You're so hungry you're willing to let me go to dinner with you.
I didn't say that. And the answer is no.
He said he's hungry, not desperate.
We got to get out of here. Not a moment too soon. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you Monday if the crick don't rise. Good night from Toronto.